Welcome to the Faith for All podcast. This week, we are presenting a Faith for All discussion podcast, where random members of Cross of Glory discuss a topic we find interesting, spiritually uplifting, or generally important. Today's topic of discussion is faith in the workplace. Let's join the discussion.
Welcome to the Faith for All podcast. Filling in for Jeff Wanderson this week is Todd Mazzara, which is me. I'm going to lead our conversation tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about sharing faith at work. And as COG, Cross of Glory Christians, what does that mean to you? And what experiences, what do you have, etc. So let's start off by just kind of going around and quickly introducing ourselves, say a little bit about who you are, and let the listeners know your voice. And I'm looking right at you, Dan, so.
All right, then I will go ahead and get us started right away then. My name is Dan Murtaugh. I've been a member here at Cross of Glory for 20 plus years. I would imagine you probably might want to know what we do for a living. That'd be a good thing to share at the start, I think. Maybe, absolutely. Unless we get to that unless that's one of the questions.
I think it's a great idea. Go for it.
I'm a parts salesman. So I sell car parts, help people with their cars when they're broke down or smashed up. And there you go.
Cool. Do you work in an office with other people or do you work remotely?
I work in an office or a garage or shop with other people. Okay. So yes, with other folks now, not at home no more. Not at home.
Thanks for that share.
Hello, I'm Debbie Murtaugh. I, too, have been at COG for over 20 years. I am a high school English teacher at TF South in Lansing.
Cool. And you do not do that remotely?
No, not anymore. Thank you.
John?
Yes, hi. My name is John, and I work for I work in human resources at a mid-sized private company. Let's see, what else? I've been at COG since 2019, and in my spare time, I like to obsess over the details of the next friend vacation. So, yeah, I'm a planner.
Cool. Wow.
My name is Sandy. I am a member of Cross of Glory for over 20 years. I run a kitchen. I'm a lead worker at a middle school, and I cook for over 400 kids a day and try and take care of the kids when they aren't very happy. My favorite things are I like to go to the gym, I like to read, and I like to do family home recipes. And my favorite is I collect old cookbooks.
Nice.
Hi, my name is Kelly Mazzara. I'm going to copy everyone else. I've also been here around 20 years. I'm a retired school teacher. At-home trophy wife, and work the occasional at-home customer service job. Right now, my main job in life is physical therapy and being able to run circles around my family again.
And speaking as part of her family, I'm her husband, Todd Mazzara. I've been with COG for 20 years, obviously. I work at a larger university where I do the business development for different companies and corporations that are partnered with it. So I talk to companies all day long, all across the country. Great. Let's start with a little bit about our main topic here. So let me just ask, and feel free to kind of raise your hand or just grab the mic and start talking. How do you feel about sharing your faith at work? When we say that, what emotion does that bring up?
I can go first. As a high school English teacher, I kind of am at an advantage as opposed to someone who may teach math for a living. Religion can come up when we're reading novels, short stories, plays, and it kind of opens the door to be able to share with my kids, although I don't specifically tell them what religion I am. They know who I am by the way we talk about works in class and about life. So I really don't have a problem bringing it up in class. When the doors open and they become more inquisitive and then they ask me, then I obviously share with them about my faith.
And with your coworkers?
Let's see. My coworkers absolutely know where I come from and who I am. Where I teach, it's not unusual for someone to be very deep in their religious faith.
Great. Please, Dan, you look like you're going to share.
It's crazy because I'm actually in the maybe sixth day of a new job. So I haven't yet done a whole lot of sharing. I did have a, is what we call around here, I think a God moment. And I've been, you know, a little bit on the fence about sharing how much of my faith, how important my faith is to me and how involved I am in my new job. And I can share about that in a minute. The thing that came up was a couple of my coworkers were sitting behind me, and I, at this point right now, I'm only in an office with 1, 2, 3, 4 other folks. And I heard the term behind me between two other people that were talking, well, nobody's perfect. And of course I couldn't help but say, except for Jesus. And here I am, day 6, opening up the floodgates. I have many times, and yeah, shared my faith very much at my workplaces. A couple of times, though, it's kind of, it gets you into a trick bag, because I did work in a high sales, high pressure, fast moving pace sales office at my last job. If things didn't go well, and said Dan lost his demeanor, is that a good word? Lost my
temper,
lost my
composure,
control, composure. Good, yeah. good. First thing everybody says is, "Oh, is that how Jesus would act? Or is that Christian of you? Is that this of you?" So unfortunately, when you do share it at work, it puts you under a bit of a different microscope.
You actually bring up a ton of great points I want to get back to you, but I want to open it up. Does anybody else want to talk a little bit about how they feel about sharing their faith at work?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I've been with a company that I'm with right now for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently remote, but I used to work 100% out of the office. Since the pandemic, it's been pretty much 98% of the time I'm working from home. It was a lot easier to share your faith back in those other days because you had a lot more relationships, a lot more water cooler, coffee time talk or whatever, mm-hmm. a little more of a break time to do that. Now you're all on conference calls and everything is quite focused. I think it was easier to share my faith in those days, and I was very comfortable with it. Today, very difficult. Does it make me uncomfortable? No, but finding the right opportunity is a lot more challenging.
Mm-hmm. When you say share your faith at work, do you mean evangelize? Do you mean just simply chat about? I mean, what does that entail for you?
Yeah, so I think it's when you're having a conversation about what you're doing. What did you do this weekend? Mm-hmm. You know, I participated in, I helped out with VBS, or I helped out with the Easter egg hunt, or we went and we worked at Morningstar Mission and helped serve meals to the hungry. It's the various things that you do that give you the opportunity. We used to be really, my wife and I used to be very much involved in the youth group at mm-hmm. our former church, and I was forever having to make sure I was off at a particular time so that I could attend a particular event. So I had to explain what I was doing. And it was really great because there was a lot of support at that time. And that, you know, we talk about work, but also I used to commute on the train, and the opportunities there were to share what you were doing. And it was funny. There were at our last church, two people that went to our church. Those families now go to that church. So it was kind of nice to be able to do that.
That's awesome. So. I'm going to open it up.
Well, I have a small, I run a small kitchen, so there's 6 of us, and one of the ladies is just started going to Parkview Church. She's never really gone to church. Her brother never has been baptized, and she always brings in every Monday, we talk about our sermons. What was your sermon? What was your sermon? Because it's a small, and it is in a school, mm-hmm. But there's just 6 of us in this kitchen, and then we talk about what we learned, and we share what the stories were, but then also we have a younger group of people. There's two younger girls, and one of them is going through counseling. And someday she comes in, and she's crying, and she also goes to a church now and then. So you give her a hug, and, you know, she's actually one of the slower people. And we say, okay, we got to keep working, keep working. And but I think she said, if it wasn't for you guys being so upbeat, I would have left this job. And then, so we counseled them. I had a meeting today with the school, kids from the school, and they wanted to know about the lunch program. And every year we have this meeting, and they had a lot of positive things about the lunch people. They had a lot of positive things about some of the monitors. It was just kind of funny how I think in the morning when we talk and we get to the last lunch, the one lady looks at me that helps me and she goes, we pray now. It's our last lunch. We got enough food. We got extra food. No one's going to complain. No one's going to call us. And we say a prayer and our Father, and she walks one way and walks the other, and it always works out. We know that every person that walks in the morning is coming in with problems. They got problems from the night before. Another lady has a problem, has a daughter that has issues. I have issues with my family. Everyone that walks in has issues. And we pray and we talk, and we know it's a safe place. So even if we don't like say prayers, we know it's a safe place. But we know God is in there, and we say a prayer in our last lunch. And it really works out. I think just saying a prayer and supporting someone else, even if you don't understand them, it helps that God is always there.
Wonderful. And it sounds like a really supportive place to be. So that's great.
OMG. This kitchen is great. And people have come from other kitchens to help us out. Mm-hmm. And they go, you got an open spot. I'd love to come help you. Like, okay, you got to talk to my boss. That's it. I can say. So.
Cool. Wonderful. Kelly, you've had some time working in a little bit more of a mixed faith situation. So I want to ask you a little bit about that. So if you would just kind of let everybody know.
Well, I'll start with, I've never been comfortable talking with religion or how much I love God, anything relating to church at work, never been comfortable. But with Cross of Glory being such a cool place to be, made it easier by saying things like, well, a lot of people I work with always know that I love music and I sing, and it would be a way to say, hey, come on to my church and you can hear some great bands and some great music. Just get people out here so they can see what I already know and see. I would use the church itself to talk about what I believe in and not just, you know, going up to someone and say, hey, I love Jesus. How about you? That would make me very uncomfortable. And the school that I worked in, I taught young children ages 10 and 11. And we really didn't get into conversations about that, especially since my school district was about 85% Muslim. So very different.
Mm-hmm. And, sorry, we're sharing the mic here. So do you, and you kind of open it up a little bit. Do you think, and I'm going to ask all of y'all to just chime in as you feel the spirit move you. Do you think sharing your faith at work is a good idea, considering how secular our world is, or how pluralistic, multi-faith, etc.? So what do you think?
I just think sharing your faith, just to share your faith, maybe not such a great idea. But I think you can kind of observe and look at the people you work with, and maybe sometimes they need a little something, and you might have it with your church family, and maybe just be observant and not out there with, you know, I love Jesus buttons and things like that. I'm just, maybe I'm learning about myself that I, you know, I'm not a big fan of going crazy with it at work.
Which I get. I mean, how do you all feel about this? I mean,
like I said earlier, that yes, it puts you under a microscope that people can check you out, you know, like that. But here's another thing, that when you do put yourself out there and at work, like Sandy was saying, that people are more easier to talk to, you know, easier to approach you about something of that sort, where I've said that, you know, I said that a lot of people like look at me and give me a hard time, but other times, once in a while, I've had stuff happen, like my phone will ring and it'll be one of my coworkers from just a few desks away or in the next office, and they were having a problem, and they asked me if I could pray and if I could pray now, and to be able to know that even though I have to take a little slack for when I am not the best Christian on the face of the earth, or I'm as a saint and a sinner, my sinner part comes out, that people in my company would be comfortable enough to ring my phone and ask me to actually pray for them or with them. Other situations I've had is I've had coworkers come to me and say that my teenage daughter, as well I was, as John was, I as well as a youth leader here at Cross of Glory, coworkers come to me and say, my child is lost, can you help? Mm-hmm. And they become one of my kids that come to my youth group and go on, you know, our trips with us, and to be able to, you know, share about a God who loves them with one of my coworkers' children, as you know, that they were felt safe to come and ask me and know that I would step up to the plate. And
well, Dan, you and Sandy both work on a smaller team like that, but John, you work in basically with a global reach. So are you experiencing similar, different, how would this be different depending on where you work?
Yeah, I think it definitely is different based on where you work and the people with whom you're interacting. Mm-hmm. It is a global role. I have 42 countries, and while my team is mostly in Chicago, the reality is I interact a lot with the UK and India and Australia, et cetera. And you just don't know how open people would be. It's definitely different because the opportunity to have those conversations is somewhat limited when you have a very specific agenda for a call. You know, you can open a call and have a, you know, friendly start to your conversation. I think one of the challenges, it's about openness, right? We have a desire to share our faith and help someone find their way to Jesus.
Right.
But the world is awash with information and misinformation. You know, we have TV, we have YouTube, mm-hmm. we have a proliferation of books, churches really in every country, in every denomination. And everybody believes something a little bit different. And so I think that there's a real need that people are really stretching for something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. But because of all the differences of opinion, right. folks are not very open to hearing someone say something. And so my belief is that letting someone know, you know, I'm involved in doing something at one point, you know, opens a door so that a conversation could be had. Living my life, my work life, especially hopefully my personal life too, mm-hmm. but with integrity and treating people with respect and making sure that I'm kind, mm-hmm. And grateful, I found has opened doors. I have had, it seems somewhat self-gratifying or whatever, but I have had some people come to me and ask me, one guy is an atheist and says, I still don't get it. How do you believe in this? And that was opened the door for a great conversation. That was before the pandemic.
Right.
Post-pandemic, yeah, it's difficult.
So, and it sounds like you're navigating that line very, very astutely, very, yeah. very, very well. Let me ask you, Debbie, and I'm going to bring it back on to everybody. Are there times where you think that sharing your faith, I'm sorry, are there times that you think that sharing your faith at work is inappropriate?
It kind of goes back a little bit to what Kelly said. I feel like as a teacher, you need to walk a very fine line mm-hmm. because you don't want to be accused of grooming a student under any circumstances. And while I don't
hesitate. Interesting language there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
it's a very fine line we have to walk. But again, because I'm an English teacher, I mean, we start out the year as sophomores with the Crucible, mm-hmm. which is very heavy into Puritanism and religion, and that kind of opens the door. The kids are very misinformed about what it means to be a Christian, and because the literature presents itself, I can do that. They know as the year goes on who I am and what I'm about. And because I teach five different sections, the rhythm and the temperature in each class is very different. Mm-hmm. Some kids are very open and want to know more information. Other kids are like, thanks, but no thanks. I did have a student this week sitting in prime real estate, which is right by my desk. So I have individual conversations with these kids all day long. And she turns to me and she says, Mrs. Murtaugh, you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. And I said, yes. And she said, why do you suppose there are such evil people in this world? Mm-hmm. And it was just a great conversation, but she initiated it. I didn't.
Right.
So it's just, you have to be very, very careful. And I'm very intentional. When I see that a kid on the attendance roster is absent due to death in family, mm-hmm. when he or she returns, I can say, I saw you had a loss. If you want to talk, I'm here for you. If not, I totally get it. But would you mind if I prayed for you at church this week? Mm-hmm. And then I can get a read on them for the rest of the year on where their thoughts are. So it's a very unique, very cool environment.
You look like you have a point to add, so I want to kind of hand this over.
I didn't, but that's good. you know, just going off of what Debbie said, I had much younger students, so it wouldn't have been as easy to have that conversation. And with the majority of the kids being a different religion than I am, we didn't really talk about it much.
I know that. I'm actually Deb's husband, if you didn't catch that with the last names. I do know that she does a lot of times when she does talk about sharing her faith at work and with the kids, she always like says that she lets me know a lot of times it's after they, how would you say it? Like,
open
initiate or make it known that it's okay for her to do that. She doesn't normally allot to kids and she doesn't preach to them, but once they ask, then it's, and once the initiation from the kid or the story brings it out, I know she does it, but she's very conscious about not grooming, I guess, if that's the word. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is, and you bring this up and I want to bring it a little bit back, Dan and I, briefly before this started, had a little joking banter about our rival high schools, because we went to rival high schools, Brother Rice and Marist, and that rivalry at that time seemed much more important in our lives than it is. But the conflict between Christian churches and variations, denominational differences, seems to be more of a battle than between Christians and non-Christians. And I bring this up because, Sandy, you talked about a friend attending Parkview, which is a nearby church, but is a completely different denomination with a different set of understandings of the Bible, etc. So how do you navigate that, the difference between denominations and how people feel about that? Because that seems to be much more charged.
Well, I think we're all about the same age. I was already saying we're all about the same age, and most of us grew up Catholic, and now we're across the Glory or Lutheran Church. And I think we decided that we found something that we can understand and still relate to our childhood. So when she told me, she goes to Parkview and she's a Christian and she never believed in anything, and this, she was just all new to her, I was just so happy that she found God. I was happy that, I don't care if you're Baptist. My dad was a strict Catholic, and his brother came over and says, I'm turning Baptist because our parents didn't give us a choice. And they got a little mad. My mom says, I think you need to go home because you're, he's putting his car in the garage and you need to go home. Back then, you were one religion and that was it. And as I grew up as a child, I couldn't understand if there's a God. Why can't you believe in this religion and have certain rules in this religion? Because if there's a God, you're going to go to heaven. You're all going to be in the same place. I just was so confused. So I listened to her because I was just happy she found faith. Mm-hmm. And you have faith, you have hope. And you'll keep going. And we share points of view and we share Bible stories and it she's really grown a lot, gotten happy, and we share it with the kids. Today we had to have a talk with student council and told them, well, we don't serve pork, and they asked us why. I said, well, it came up to a religious question. And my boss was like, well, it's kind of religious, and we didn't, you know, so we kind of smoothed it over and the kids kind of understood it. But I still believe that there's faith. That they all have faith, even if whatever faith they are, they believe, and then there's hope, and then that hope will go to the next generation. We grew up and it was kind of strict, mm-hmm. and you still, you know, had rivalries. You know, I was from Maria and you guys from your school. Ours was St. Rita, so sorry. But, you know, that's how I felt it, that she had hope and faith, and that's what counts. Mm-hmm. She will spread it to the next person.
Cool. So you're dealing with people that are open about their Christianity.
Yes.
Christian. What about, how do you navigate with people that are atheist or just simply are quote unquote spiritual? They feel they believe in something, but maybe not organized religion in any way.
And
they may take offense to it. I mean, where are you at in that conversation?
Well, I have to deal with that quite often. So I kind of explain how I believe in God and faith and how it has helped my life and my family, and give them examples. And I respect how they believe because that's their belief and they believe in something, and I don't want to knock them down because, you know, they have a belief and they're somehow understanding certain beliefs. And then I try and make it very positive so that they keep what they're believing. Atheists, I believe that they're searching. And if I just share one thing with them, maybe they'll think about it. Mm-hmm. And they might think about a thought like how I had a lot going on in my life years ago. I lost my parents, you know, and then we sold the house and we move on and get married. We have so many issues, but I've always had faith, and that's gotten me through so many things that I believe that if they hear a little bit of my story, even if it's not really too religious, that God has been there, that they'll think about it. But I don't force it on them because obviously that might not be something they want to hear, but I just share my story of how I've gotten through problems in my life.
Mm-hmm. So you're approaching it and sharing your story openly. But Kelly, you said that you're not really comfortable sharing your personal life that way. Can you elaborate a little bit?
That's a tough one, but I've learned just by doing this podcast and by talking with you about questions that I'm not comfortable with sharing it in more like an evangelist type of way. Mm-hmm. And you had made a comment yesterday that stuck with me. It's like, you know, I don't want to be a salesman. And that's kind of how I feel. And I've seen things before. Another example where in class we always did like a celebration of winter holidays, and we had the kids learn about all the different ones, like Eid, which was a big one in my school, and Christmas. We talked about them, and we had a couple teachers that I work with all in the same room, and one had made a comment about pork is dirty, and another teacher was like, excuse me, that's not how I feel, and I was ready to retreat to a complete other room because I just don't want to get into that. So I just feel like the way that I would express my religion and the kind of person I am is, like John said, through kindness and understanding. And if you ask me, I'll tell you, but I would rather not, you know, be selling it. That's how I feel.
Which I totally understand. Now, you said that your way of expressing your faith is to live it at work, and I can see that. But I'm going to come back to you, Dan, because you opened this door earlier. You talked about conflicts and especially in a high sales environment, and having been in sales, there are times in sales where there's a temptation to be unethical in how you approach things. How do you deal with that in a work scenario and hang on to your faith? Or do you turn a blind eye to it? What is your approach to an ethical dilemma at work? And I'll open up to everybody, please. If you have input on this, just jump in and share.
Of course. Yeah, that's definitely in my business. It's come about many times. And I believe that's why I had a pretty good customer base, because I, even my customers know who I am, and I share my faith with my customers, and it helps in that situation, because they know that if I do say something, then I mean it, and I'm not, you know, like, I'm not just trying to make the extra make a buck off them or whatever, or that. I had a customer who turned out to be a really good customer who was, and you were speaking of world people and different, it does turn out he is Christian, but one of my customers, he kind of just like landed on my desk. My boss said, here, try taking care, you know, take care of this guy. And I did lose
composure.
At one point, he was, he had put in an order, and I didn't know, I mean, it was just like my first time dealing with him, and he put through this order, and a couple of the parts were wrong. So I did what I'm supposed to do. I corrected them. One was a double. So I took it off and sent the parts to the correct ones to him. And when he got them, he thought I was trying to pull a fast one on him, and that I was a scammer, or, you know, like trying to overcharge him. And he went to my boss, or like he started yelling at me. And I, again, it's hard for me to allow somebody to yell at me that's on my phone when I can just push the button and it stops. and I don't even remember if I did end up giving him to my boss, or he ended up getting a hold of my boss. And my boss was like, wait, what did you think Dan was doing something like that to you? And my boss went and was able to tell him that if there's anybody in this office that would not be taking advantage of you, it would be him. And he was just doing his job correctly. If what you want him to do is just sell you the parts that you asked for, no matter what, whether they're right, wrong, or other, mm-hmm. he'll take care of that as well. But you have to tell him that first. And he would never, and my boss explained to him that I'm a Christian, and I would never be stealing from him in any way, shape, or form. Right. And that was the end of that. And he became a very good customer for the next 10, 15 years. I've been dealing with him and taking care of him. And he imports parts. So I sell him parts, and then he ships them and sends them around the world, wherever he deals with. So dealing with a little bit of different culture and whatnot, but, and then it didn't come out many times. He picked up the phone, especially if it was on a Monday or on what'd you do at church this week? Did you preach, or were you, you know, like, did you work with the kids, you know, and he would want to know. But from that point on, he trusted.
Well, let me ask, as we're talking about getting the idea of your faith across, and obviously living your faith at work is one great way to show it off. Kelly had mentioned something, and Dan off mic had commented, Kelly had mentioned she didn't like the idea of being a salesperson. And Dan had said,
A Jesus salesman,
right. And that begs the question, at work, you're in a difficult scenario. We've all talked about walking that line. But we all also have, as Christians, kind of a standing order. It's called the Great Commission, but a standing order to spread the word, spread the gospel. We talk about it all the time here at Cross of Glory. In fact, this is an evangelical Lutheran church, which doesn't mean what you think it means. But evangelical does mean getting the word out. So how do you deal with that command, the Great Commission? And it occurs in all the Gospels and the Book of Acts. How do you deal with that command and not cross the line at work? Oh, Sandy, just grab the mic and just start talking.
Just one thing. The only thing I've ever done since I've been 16 and been working, I was working since 15, 16. The only thing I do is people go, you're talking at work. What'd you do this weekend? You know, or what'd you do? I go, well, Saturday we did this. This Sunday I went to church. Mm-hmm. I go to such and such church. And then I leave it alone. And sometimes they'll ask questions. So sometimes all I say is, well, Sunday I went to church and we had some great music. Or I just say something simple. And I just leave it and see what they say.
Mm-hmm. No. But so a soft sell. Deb, you definitely look like you've got some point on this, and I want to hear it.
I have two things that I have to say. First of all, like Kelly, I'm very hesitant and reluctant. And it's funny because every once in a while, and it happened today, and it just occurred to me, one of my kids went, Jesus Christ. And I went, superstar, just like I always do when they look at me. But what I want to do is I want to talk about a story on Sunday. Dan and I went to go visit our daughter and her family in Michigan. We were driving home and we weren't but 15 minutes on the highway. And there was, you know, three lanes of traffic, expressway, both sides separated by a grass median. It was smoking hot on Sunday, close mm-hmm. to 80. And there's a woman holding a toddler in her arms in the median. Her vehicle is obviously broke down. And we're doing 65 in the left lane. If we're lucky, we're doing 65, we're probably doing 75. And it's like, boom. And as he's driving past, in my head, I'm going, I can't believe he didn't stop. And he's going, I really think I should stop. And I said, well, I really think we can't stop in the middle of traffic, but the exit's right here. Let's swing around and go back. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and on the front of her car, her front license plate had the word love on it. And I thought, okay, this is not a setup. We're going to be okay. So we swing around and we come back, and she's standing there and she's holding her daughter, and we have the car seat because our grandbaby has a car seat, and we have three dogs in the truck. And she comes over to the car, and I was like, wow, look at her, she's so brave. Here we are, two total strangers. And Dan said, I just felt like the Lord was calling me to pull over. And I was like, why do we have to start with God? Why can't? And I said, and you've got love on your front bumper, and that's why I thought we were okay to turn around. And I just, he's so good at that, and I just am so terrible at that. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to what Kelly was saying too. I'm just terrible at it. The love made me want to pull over, not the Lord. Sorry.
Well, God is love.
God is love. Why does it make you feel uncomfortable?
It makes me feel like, okay, let me start with it. Dan is so sincere that you know that's just him. And you feel comfortable with it. I feel like if I were to try to be like Dan, I would look like, oh, look at her. All she does is talk about church. She's kind of weird, you know, and you don't feel like that with Dan, right? Because that's who he is, you know. So I feel like it wouldn't be authentic for me to be like that. And so the way that I try to share my religion is by, oh, my church has this really cool thing going on this Sunday. And, you know, if you're looking for a cool church, I have it. It's come as you are, you know. We're relaxed. Everybody's welcome. We do super fun things. That's how I feel I would get people to come. You know, I'm going to be doing some music and you're really going to like it. So I would not do well in Dan's lane at all.
Thank you.
If it makes you feel any better, Cal, I couldn't sing a lick like you can. So there's that. The Lord has blessed you with what he's blessed you with to share at work and how to get people. And the Lord has blessed me with what he's blessed me with, yes, how to get people.
And John, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, right now the trend, or at least at our work, is we talk about bringing your whole self to work. Mm-hmm. Well, part of my faith is my whole self.
Right.
And or part of my whole self, yeah, is faith. Edit that out. Anyway. So I think there's a potential opportunity, mm-hmm, at times, but I think you just have to be genuine about who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of what you're trying to say about Dan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think if you had the opportunity of passing someone on the street who needs help, I think you'd do it too. I mean, I'd like to think that we all would. Folks that are in need, we, you know, I know you saw the word love on the bumper and you're like, okay, we're safe. It's like, I guess we all have that kind of worry in our head that if we extend ourselves out, whether it's to help someone on the street or to help someone in an office or whatever, there's always a worry about, you know, what is going to happen. You know, am I taking a risk? And that's part of what evangelism is. But you got to be genuine to who you are. And I think that's a real important point. So, go ahead.
I said, ooh, I love that thing.
I think listening to everybody, we all have a gift. Music, talking, teaching. Everyone has a gift in this room. And I think it's and then you portray God that way. You have a gift. You might not like to be a salesman as a God, like you're saying, but it's a gift of music and you like to talk. Everybody has a gift. And I think together, I have a saying at home. It says, I do not have it together, but together we have it all. Mm-hmm. And that's how we live. And I think we all have a gift. That's all I have to say is like, I'm listening and everybody's trying to portray God, but they all do it in different ways. So everyone has a gift.
I think the key is that at work is what she's saying is that you show your gift as a gift from God, not just your gift because you're good at it, because you practiced a lot or sang a lot, or because you went to school to become a teacher and learned everything you needed to know to teach others. The fact that when it shows that what you're using, your gift, and whether it's your gift as selling car parts, when it's identified as a gift from God, people can see that in your workplace, in our workplaces, that when you view it that way, is not just like, oh, I'm good at cars, but it's a gift from God that I'm good at cars mechanically. It's a gift from God that I can feed people, you know, a gift from God I can sing.
That's a great point, because Martin Luther, who had lots of great quotes, did talk a lot about I think he called it the priesthood of work, of life. And basically that regardless of whether you are a church pastor or a baker or a car parts salesperson, your gift matters, as Sandy pointed out, to the entire community of Christ. And so it's always an important part, because you contribute to the whole as long as you do it with God first. So I just think that's a great observation. I did want to ask, are there things you should absolutely not say when sharing your faith at work?
Wow. It just like, and I think it's been underlined between, especially some don't try to force it on nobody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just show it, open it up. I think when you try to like, or be judgy with it, you know, that's, I think, and that's a lot of problems people in the Christian world can do, that be judgy.
Yeah, you shouldn't act like this is the one and only faith and this is what you should be doing. You should be open to all faiths are worthwhile, and mine's not the best.
We know that we have our God is so big that he very well could be the God of every of the guy sitting next to you in the cubicle next to you.
Yeah. I get it. I want to share a couple of, and this was handed to me before we do a quick wrap up. So this is a list of top 10 ways not to share your faith at work. Top 10 ways not to share your faith at work. Number one, change your Zoom background to a picture of Jesus on the cross. Two, offer to baptize people at the sink in the break room. Three, ask if you can close team meetings with a prayer. No. Four, put sticky notes with John 3:16 printed on them on everyone's computer monitor, but don't let them know who put them there. When offering your opinion, number five, when offering your opinion on something, begin every sentence with, as a Christian, and please make sure you're doing this with a condescending tone, send emails to all staff members about controversial theological topics. In the subject line, write, Jesus told me to send this. For the office potluck, sign up for a dish to pass and bring bread and grape juice to share with others, explaining, this is how Jesus said to remember him, and I just want to do that here. Eight, if someone shares something vulnerable with you, that they're struggling with, quote Bible verses to them, but don't share anything else. Number nine, top ways not to share your faith at work is tell people they're sinners. And if they curse or mention any questionable weekend behavior, reiterate. Number 10, blast Christian music at your cubicle, hoping that someone will ask you about the righteous lyrics when they walk by. So with that, and I want to thank Jeff, our normal moderator, for bringing us that list. But I want to ask if we can just give any final thoughts. So let's go around, and then we will wrap this up as we always do with Cross of Glory and with the Faith for All podcast with a closing prayer that Dan has volunteered to say. So closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. Just wanted to let you know that we did end up driving the woman and her child home, and everyone made it home safely. I think the key with sharing your faith in the workplace is that actions always speak so much louder than words, and people know who you are by what you do and how you act. You don't have to be right all the time. You just need to do what's right.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I'd like to put an exclamation point on all of those points. Be genuine, be true to yourself, and specifically make sure that, you know, you're not going to get called out. You're not going to get called out for saying, oh, you say you're a Christian, but this is how you act.
Right.
I agree with them 100%. And just be kind and faithful, because you don't know what those people were like when they came into work that day. And they have struggles. And maybe when you show kindness, you're showing God.
I agree with being as kind as you can be every day and treating all with respect. And finding the best way for yourself to be the best Christian at work. Be sincere, be yourself, and get it out there in the best way that you can.
Me? Okay. To wrap it up with, I guess I'll be looking forward to how in my new job that my Christianity plays out. And how much of it I share right away. Most likely, though, knowing what Kelly said about me, even if I don't want to, unfortunately, I have to talk about it because it's part of who I am.
That's authentic Dan.
And that's authentic Dan. And in the past, it's like I said, with my customers and with people I work with, that I may get scrutinized a little bit. That's why she's the teacher and I sell parts. That it's worth it if I get the times where I can help my coworker's teenage kid or pray with somebody that's just lost somebody or going through something hard, that it's worth it, even though it adds a different dynamic to your workday if you wear it on your sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. And I really love the word scrupulized. I am now going to incorporate that in my life. I'm like, that is a great word. Don't dismiss it. It's awesome. Really, it is. And Dan, would you pray us out?
I would love to. The Lord be with you all.
Also with you.
Father God, we come to you with great thanks. Great thanks of this group that we've put together, this podcast, and this way we can reach out and evangelize to people around. And I'm sure there's lots of folks out there that are, Lord, that are concerned about wearing their Christianity on their sleeve or sharing it with their coworkers. But maybe somebody listening to this, we ask that if there is somebody out there that needs help with that you find their heart their heart and their ears to hear this podcast, and that it helps them in their daily work days, or in just anybody and everybody that listens to it. Lord, I just ask that you use your spirit in their hearts and the stories that we've shared to hopefully share your word and your mission and for other people.
Faith for All would like to thank Dan Murtaugh, Debbie Murtaugh, John DeMeely, Sandy Wilmson, Kelly Mazera, and Todd Mazira for their participation and fantastic insights. And as always, we are grateful to John Yuzardo for making us sound good. Come back next week as we start Pastor Dana O'Brien's sermon series on Paul's letter to the Philippians. Faith for All was created by Cross of Glory Church. If you'd like more information on Cross of Glory, please visit our webpage at crossofglory.com, where you can learn more about the church, see our upcoming events, and watch previous services and sermons. You can also find us on Facebook and YouTube. Everyone, and we do mean everyone, is welcome to join us at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning for worship on our website, Facebook, YouTube, or in person at 14719 West 163rd Street, Homer Glen, Illinois. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends, family, and anyone else you can think of about it. Faith for All is available on Podbean, Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find podcasts. Todd Mazira created our original music. John Yuzardo engineered the sound. Jeff Wanderson handled the production duties. And I'm your friend and humble announcer, Andrew Morin. Thank you for joining us.